Now, in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, a News Corporation company. In another logo, slender laser light draws a calligraphic letter, R. Smoke wafts from the letter. A word appears, Regency. In another logo, pages of comic books flip past our view as a word appears in bold white letters, Marvel. Titles appear. 20th Century Fox and Regency Enterprises present, in association with Marvel Enterprises Incorporated, a new Regency Horseshoe Bay production. Nighttime. Lights shine from the windows of skyscrapers, forming brilliant grids of light. The buildings and most of the dots fade, leaving white braille letters which change into words. Ben Affleck as Matt Murdock. Our view shifts to another skyscraper. As the streaking image fades to black, more braille letters remain. Jennifer Garner as Electra Nachios. The bird's eye view soars over the tall spire of the Chrysler Building, then swoops down to street level. Floodlights withdraw from two buildings, and the entire image recedes out of sight. Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin. The cityscape returns. We scan past a dark tower and come to face the Empire State Building. A configuration of lit windows brightens and brails another title, and Colin Farrell as Bullseye. Our view rises quickly toward the night sky, then pauses on the building's floodlit tip. Braille letters appear, then change into words in a flash of bright red light. Daredevil. In another flash, a shining emblem shows two interlocked Ds. Now, an image reflected in water shows a full moon over the Manhattan skyline. A droplet strikes the image and ripples distort the view. The image rotates, and a rat crosses the tiny pool. The rat stops at more puddles in its path, then scurries over the moonlit pavement. As the rodent approaches some wide stone steps, steam shoots from a storm drain. Our view follows the steps up to a pair of tall doors flanked by two lights. Images flash by, a swatch of red fabric, a masked man. Our view moves up the ornate doors to a Gothic cathedral's facade. More images flash. A woman battles the masked man with twin psi blades. Titles continue. Joe Pantoliano, John Favreau, David Keith, Eric Avari, Paul Ben-Victor, Derek O'Connor, Leland Orser, Scott Tara. Moonlight illuminates a stained glass window which shows the pale face of a blue-eyed saint. More titles. Casting by Donna Isaacson, CSA, and Edie Belasco, CSA. Music by Graham Revell. Music supervisor Dave Jordan. In a flash, the masked man battles a foe with a bullseye on his forehead. Now high atop the cathedral's stone gable, the masked figure clings to a cross. As a helicopter passes, searchlights sweep across the man's form-fitting bodysuit. More titles. Visual effects supervisor Rich Thorne. Costume designer James Acheson. Co-producers Kevin Fage, Becky Cross Trujillo. Film editors Dennis Verkler, ACE, Armin Manassian. Now inside the cathedral, the masked figure drops from a cable onto the stone floor. Production designer Barry Chusid. Director of photography Erickson Kaur. Executive producers Stan Lee, Bernie Williams. Screenplay by Mark Steven Johnson. Produced by Arnon Milken, Gary Foster, Avi Arad. Directed by Mark Steven Johnson. A door opens in the dim sanctuary, revealing a man in priestly robes. As the masked figure struggles to rise, the priest approaches. The cleric's gaze circles the sanctuary as he passes wrought iron stands of flickering candles. Elsewhere, the masked figure makes his way along the stone floor, straining on all fours. As the man collapses onto his back, the priest spots him, grabs a candle, and rushes over. The bearded cleric looks down at the visitor. The priest kneels and removes the man's dark horned mask. The young man's eyes stare without focus as the priest lifts his head and holds the candle closer.
Adieu. Adieu. Adieu.
They say your whole life flashes before your eyes when you die. And it's true, even for a blind man.
Now the man's eye becomes a boy's as 10-year-old Matt stares down at us. A drop of blood falls from a cut on his lower lip.
I grew up in Hell's Kitchen. The politicians and the real estate developers call it Clinton now. But a neighborhood, like everything else, has a soul. And souls don't change with a name.
Come on, Shrimp, hit me.
The boy faces three bullies.
Hit him again, man.
You fight like your dad.
Yeah.
Come on, hit me.
My dad's gonna be champ.
Your dad's a bum.
Yeah, come on.
Hit me.
One kid knocks Matt down. Matt gets to his feet and runs off, skateboard in hand.
Sure can run.
Pathetic.
Later in an apartment.
My father was a boxer. A sports writer once wrote that he fought like the devil, and the name stuck. Jack, the Devil Murdoch, was a contender.
As his father sleeps, Matt removes a beer bottle.
But that was a long time ago.
He rouses the beefy man.
Come on, Dad. Get up.
Jack's work shirt hangs open, showing his drab undershirt. He stretches groggily and gets to his feet.
One.
Colin.
Yeah? I beat him, you know?
I know, Dad. TKO.
Matt puts him to bed.
I beat Sharman, Robbins, Wagner.
As Jack flops down, Matt removes his father's shoes.
Hey. Hey, what's that?
Nothing.
He points to Matt's bruised lip.
I told you I didn't want you fighting.
Jack sits up. Matt stands and meets his father's stern gaze.
They said that you work for Fallon. That you're one of his guys now.
His father cracks a smile.
Get over here, sit down. Come on.
Matt sits on the bed next to him.
You think I'd be pulling double overtime down at the docks if I was working for Fallon? What are you, nuts? You don't hit nothing but books, get me? You'd be a doctor or a lawyer. Not like me.
Dad.
Matt, you can do it. You can do anything if you're not afraid. Now, you promise me.
Matt nods faintly at his father, then gazes down. Later, on a rooftop, Matt stares at the full moon.
I promise, Dad.
Daytime. Matt rides his skateboard down an alley past a loading dock.
One day I took a shortcut home from school. What I saw, I'll never forget.
Matt stops and flips his skateboard into his hand.
Because it would be the last thing I'd ever see.
His father shakes a man by the collar.
Will, Jack, come on.
No obligations.
Dad?
Okay, I got it.
Jack sees his son.
Matt?
Matt flees, dropping a report card of straight A's in a puddle.
Matt!
He runs to the docks, carrying his skateboard under one arm. The boy passes stacked red barrels, each bearing a label. Warning, biohazard. A forklift driver slams on the brakes as Matt runs out in front of him. Skidding out of control, the vehicle's forks slice open a barrel. The liquid gushes into Matt's face. The view shifts to inside his eyeball. Lightning-like energy surges along his optic nerve, tunneling back into the brain. Now, Matt wakes in a hospital bed with his eyes bandaged. A drop of liquid falls in an IV tube at his bedside. The view swoops into the blackness of Matt's ear. The darkness is pierced as a shimmering energy pulse issues from the IV tube, washes over the room, and dissipates. Another wave fans out with the next drop. Matt gets to his knees on the bed. A heart monitor sends out energy pulses that also sweep outward. Each pulse gives a smoky blue and white image of the room. Matt frantically feels the bandages on his face. As he falls off the bed, his ear rests on the floor. A gurney's wheels roll by. Ghostly pedestrians move beyond the misty walls. A phantom truck veers toward him. Matt scurries backwards, crawling to a corner. He stands, cowering from the frenzy of images. Overlapped with more ghostly figures, a man works a jackhammer and ethereal cars speed by. The bell's energy pulse sweeps past, then another, gradually washing everything away. Now in the hall, the door to room 1202 opens and a man walks in. Matt stands calmly at the window, his back to the door. He turns as his father sits down on the bed.
I'm sorry, Matty. I'm so sorry.
Matt steps forward slowly and puts his arms around Jack. As he rests his bandaged face on his father's shoulder, Jack embraces his son and weeps.
It's okay.
Now our view sweeps over the buildings in Hell's Kitchen. On one of the rooftops, Jack hits a punching bag hanging from a water tower. Seated nearby, Matt runs his fingertips over braille pages.
We made each other a silent promise.
Jack smiles at his son.
To never give up. To be fearless.
Now Jack boxes an opponent.
To stick up for the long shots like us.
On a curb, Matt falls back as a bus speeds by.
We were two fighters on the comeback trail.
In the ring, the other boxer pounds Jack. Back on the rooftop, Matt lowers his book.
I had lost my sight, but I got something back in return.
He hurls his book at a squeaky speed bag.
My remaining four senses functioned with superhuman sharpness.
As Jack boxes at a gym, Matt walks to the swinging bag.
But most amazing of all, my sense of sound gave off a kind of radar sense.
Matt perceives his hands under the bag as ghostly pulses emanate from its squeaky swing. Matt punches the bag. In the ring, Jack fiercely fights back. As Matt deftly works the speed bag, Jack knocks out his opponent. Later, Matt does a handstand on the building's ledge.
High above the roar of the streets, I trained my body and my senses. An acute sense of touch gave me both strength and balance.
Matt surfs down a bar three stories high.
Until the city itself became my playground. I was the boy without fear.
He jumps off into a pile of cardboard boxes. Now Jack spits his mouthpiece on the unconscious fighter. The ref lifts Jack's gloved hand into the air. Now Matt stops an old mustached man from stepping into the path of a speeding bus.
Hey, Murdoch! Round two.
Later in an alley, the bullies approach Matt.
What's up, freak?
Look at him, man. Look at his eyes.
One bully waves in front of Matt's sunglasses.
Yo, kick his ass, man.
Go ahead, fight me. I dare you.
Yeah, Murdoch.
I dare you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Kick his ass.
As they turn away, Matt whips his cane around, resting the tip against the bully's cheek. Matt smirks.
Okay.
The bully turns and swings at Matt, who dodges, then canes his face. With a quick stroke, he sweeps the boy's legs. As another charges, Matt slams him into a fence. Matt does a backflip and kicks the third bully under the chin. With a flourish of his cane, Matt stands above his fallen foes. He smiles. Nighttime. A marquee reads, "Live tonight, Jack the Devil Murdoch."
Jack, it's been a while.
In a locker room.
I don't work for you no more, Fallon.
Jack, you never stopped. Did you really think you won those fights on your own? You're 42 years old. Miller, Mack, Bendis, they're all my fighters. Just like you. And now it's your turn to take a fall.
Jack's shadow strides along.
Think about your boy, Jack.
His son follows.
I'm sure you'll do the right thing.
His dad's horn silhouette shadow boxes toward the arena. Later, Jack falls to the canvas.
Come on, Dad! Come on, Dad, get up!
In the crowd, Matt stands. Jack spits blood.
Dad, get up!
Jack looks up. In the row in front of his son, Fallon smiles and nods.
Come on! Come on, Dad! Get up! Never give up!
Jack forces himself to his feet. The ref walks over to Jack.
Murdoch, you all right? Okay, let's
As the younger boxer advances and swings, Jack punches him in the gut. A powerful uppercut sends Jack's opponent reeling into the ropes, and he drops. As Jack defiantly spits out his mouthpiece, Fallon frowns. Matt enters the ring and hugs his father.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner by way of knockout, Jack the Devil Murdoch!
As the ref raises Jack's arm, Fallon stands and walks out. Jack watches him leave. He smiles and looks to his son, who rides on his shoulders wearing the boxer's red horned robe.
This one was for you, Matty.
I waited outside of the Olympic for my father. In some ways, I'm still waiting.
In an alley, a side door opens and Jack steps out. A long black car parks, blocking the alley. Around the corner, young Matt stops shadowboxing. A man restrains Jack as another beats him. Young Matt comes running. The black car suspension raises up a bit. Matt runs, searching. A figure's legs step past the black car. On the ground, Jack rolls onto his back, blood dripping down his face. As the figure's shadow looms closer, Jack makes out a blurry head. A gloved fist smashes down. As Matt hurries down the alley, his father's red boxing robe drops from his shoulders. Up ahead, the gloved figure drops a red rose onto Jack's chest. Matt arrives. At his father's side, Matt drops to his knees. Tears glisten on young Matt's face. His fingers touch his father's bloody face.
I can't see you, Dad. I can't see you.
Young Matt sniffs the air, then feels down his dad's chest. His fingers brush against the rose, and he rests his hand on the flower. As he weeps, Matt clenches the blossom in his fist. Blood oozes over his thumb. The boy bows his head, then faces the empty alley. The red robe lies in the center.
No one cared much about the death of a washed-up prize fighter. Nobody but me. I would keep my promise. I would help those that others wouldn't. I would seek justice. One way or another.
Our view sweeps up past a grungy mural of a boxer on the alley wall. Above it, the moon glows amid dark clouds. City rooftops stream by as we zip toward the cathedral and its stained glass windows. The pale face of the blue-eyed saint fills our view. The image shifts to Matt's adult face floating in water. A stripe of light widens on his features as the metal lid of a sensory deprivation tank slides open. Matt sits up. Matt pinches the bridge of his nose. Later, his hand turns on a stereo. Now, his fingers feel braille labels on the suit coats in his closet. Matt grabs a flip-top wristwatch and a pair of sunglasses. Dressed in a suit, he opens plastic boxes on a countertop. He removes a $10 bill from the first and folds it in half lengthwise. He then removes a $5 bill from a separate box and folds it in half across its width. He slides the bills into his wallet. Now he walks through his dark loft apartment, trailing his hand along a wall. Later, he stands in a courtroom with a cane.
Ladies and gentlemen, justice is blind, but it can be heard. And today, the truth will come out. Mr. Quesada, could you state for the court the sequence of events leading up to the night, June 30th?
I stopped off at Josie's bar after work, had a few drinks. Angela was there.
Photos show Angela's bruised face.
She asked me if I wanted to stick around. For some fun.
Matt listens.
Anything that happened after that was entirely consensual.
Flashes illuminate Quesada's heart. The view zooms past veins and returns to Matt's face.
Are you aware that perjury is a crime, Mr. Quesada?
Objection. My client is a respectable member of the community. Where Miss Sutton has a history of drug
My client is not on trial
abuse,
here.
Which not only makes her testimony
Nor
suspect,
is her testimony suspect.
Gentlemen, that's enough.
The truth is, Mr. Murdoch, is that Miss Sutton. Miss Sutton enjoyed every minute of it.
As Angela weeps, Matt's grip tightens on his cane.
Mr. Quesada, for your sake, I hope justice is found here today.
Matt squarely faces the defendant.
Before justice finds you.
Now Quesada gets in a car.
That's not right. Another rapist back on the streets.
Yeah? Here's what I don't get. How can a scumbag like Quesada afford an attorney like Hirsch?
You can't. The kingpin's gotta be footing the bill.
Come on, let's go get drunk.
Not tonight. I got work to do.
Later, his cane retracts. He draws a zipper up past a double D emblem on a red bodysuit. He pulls on gloves, fastens clamps at his calves, then rotates a knob on his cane. Two serrated prongs angle out. He tests the weapon, first wielding it as nunchakus, then a half staff, then a pair of billy clubs. He stows the rods in a holster at his thigh. Now the city gleams, reflected in the polished black eyes of his devil horn mask. Daredevil plunges headfirst off of a high-rise, keeping his arms at his sides. He senses a shimmering rectangular form looming closer. Daredevil draws into a tuck, then unfolds and lands on a window-washing platform. He springs off of it, flips to a second, then a third. His boots skate down the angled surface, and he leaps down to a lower roof. With a running start, he bounds off the edge and arcs hundreds of feet through the air. The vigilante grips a cable, swings his body around with the reverberation, and lands on another roof. Leaping over a gap, he flips onto a long, thick pipe, runs its length, and jumps down. Below the roof, under a ceiling fan, Quesada lights a match over a shot glass. The flame ignites over his reflection. He blows it out and drinks. In the crowded biker bar, Quesada files past a pool table and joins some buddies. In the rafters above the ceiling fan, Daredevil listens.
To the justice system, right? Of course I be. Kingpin's got my back, bro.
Quesada and his biker friend look up toward the rafters.
So look at that. Is that guy for real?
Several customers look up too.
Yeah, he's for real.
They see Daredevil.
What do you want? Justice.
Daredevil throws a billy club and splits Quesada's lip. As bikers fire guns into the rafters, Daredevil jumps down and sweeps the legs out from under one guy, then trounces a gunman with chopping motions. Deflecting two attacks, he kicks a beer bottle from each man. The bottles short out ceiling lamps, which spark. Quesada keeps low. As Daredevil evades a biker's gunfire, the shots hit another biker. A man attacks with a pool cue, and Daredevil drops into a booth. With his telescoping cane, he fells three more attackers. He then cartwheels away from the downward hack of a cue stick. As two men each grab an end of his cane, he gymnastically vaults around the bar at its middle. The men lose their grip. Daredevil activates the twin billy clubs and slams their faces. Now machine gun fire destroys the liquor shelves, and a bartender grabs a shotgun. Daredevil listens. He perceives the bullets, which make ethereal trails in his direction. He vaults onto a railed walkway overlooking the chaos. At a stairwell, he subdues an attacker and surfs on the man's body, riding it down the railing. Now he sprints sideways onto a chain-link fence, runs parallel to the floor, and kicks a biker. He then shoots a cable at a ceiling fan. He perches on the axle above the fan blades and listens. Ghostly imagery shows Quesada crawling along. As pool tables burn, a man aims a machine gun at Daredevil. The vigilante vaults onto another fan, and ricocheting gunfire takes the shooter out. Daredevil leaps down. His kicking feet connect with two bikers. His dark torso stands silhouetted against the burning pool tables. Quesada flees. Under showering sparks, Daredevil steps onto a burning pool table and strides calmly through the flames. Outside, Quesada runs into the street, pistol in hand. He trips and lands in a puddle.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He bolts. The puddle reflects Daredevil, who jumps from a ledge above. Quesada reaches a subway station and tumbles down the stairs. He spots Daredevil at the top, staring down at him. As Quesada retreats deeper inside, Daredevil calmly follows. On the brightly lit platform, Quesada hides behind a column. At the stairs, Daredevil readies his cane. A train's chaotic sound waves show several outlines of Quesada peeking out with his gun. Daredevil strikes a railing with his cane. A new sonic wave sweeps outward, yielding a clean perception of the platform and Quesada's hiding place. Staying put, the rapist slowly looks to his left. A cable lashes around his neck.
Hey, how you doing?
Didn't you hear? I was quitting.
Not by me.
Another train approaches. Daredevil releases Quesada and falls to one knee, covering his ears. Quesada pulls another pistol and aims it at the vigilante's head. A bullet rotates into place. Daredevil twirls, slamming his cane against Quesada. The rapist falls hard onto the track. As he painfully strains for his out-of-reach gun, a light appears in the tunnel.
Hey, that light at the end of the tunnel? Guess what? That's not heaven.
I'm killing him.
That's the C train.
Quesada squirms as the train speeds toward him. Later, criminalists photograph and tag the body. A man in an overcoat and glasses strolls onto the taped-off platform.
Hey, you can't go past there.
The man flashes a press pass.
Right. You're wasting your time, Yerrick. There's nothing to see here.
Jose Quesada.
Paramedics cover the face and cart off the corpse.
And the rest of Jose Quesada.
The bottom half lies on another stretcher.
Oh, a lot of nothing, huh, Nick? You keep running those stories, and we're gonna end up with a bunch of copycat vigilantes who are gonna get themselves killed.
Are you here to confirm that Daredevil is responsible for this, detective?
Come on, Yurik, stop busting my...
Yurik holds up a tape recorder.
There is no proof that your so-called Daredevil was involved, nor that he even exists. Got it?
Yurik tosses his lit cigarette onto the platform. The ground ignites and the flames spread into a pattern. Policemen back away from a burning Double D emblem. Yurik turns off the recorder.
Got it.
The flames of Daredevil's mark reflect in Yurik's glasses. Now our view sweeps quickly over the city to Hell's Kitchen. Daredevil leaps from a rooftop and makes a cat-like landing on another rooftop below. He handsprings down another level, landing on his feet. The vigilante removes his mask, revealing his solemn face.
Can one man make a difference? There are days when I believe, and others when I have lost all faith.
Matt opens a panel, exposing three combination locks. With a swipe of his hand, he sets them all spinning. His fingers hover over the top lock, then stop it. He stops the other two with hard slaps. A door opens, and Matt wearily descends a dark stairwell. Cherub statues line the passage. The vigilante pats a pair of boxing gloves hung in the doorway as he enters his loft. As he passes a table, he presses an answering machine's button.
Matt, it's Heather. Are you there?
He walks to the sink.
Of course you're not there. You're never there. At least not for me. Look, I didn't want to do this over the phone.
He gingerly washes cuts on his face.
It's been 3 months now, and I've never even seen your apartment. Every time we sleep together, I wake up in the morning alone. I mean, Jesus, where do you go at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Matt crosses to a blank wall.
I thought that if I waited, if I was patient enough, you'd let me in.
He touches it and panels open, revealing a hidden room.
That we take our relationship to the next level. Then I realized that this is the next level. Goodbye, Matt. I hope you find what you're looking for.
Inside, a dozen leathery bodysuits drape coat hangers. Matt hangs his retracted cane on a row of hooks with three others. Beneath them, two mannequin heads wear Daredevil masks. Matt fits the mask in his hand to an empty head, then drops his bodysuit to the floor. Old scars form a crisscrossing network on his back. In the shower, water sprays down, forming glittering beads on Matt's shoulders. He grimaces, reaches between his lips, and works a tooth back and forth with his fingers. He yanks it out and tosses it into the drain. Later, he opens a medicine cabinet filled with prescription bottles marked in Braille with labels reading Darvon, Percocet, and Vicodin. He selects one and pops a couple into his mouth. He chews, facing blankly ahead. Later, he gingerly lowers himself into his tank and lays back in the water. The casket-like lid slides over him and latches shut. In the tank, Matt takes shallow breaths and his eyelids gradually flutter closed. Now in a confessional, a window slides open and the priest leans toward Matt.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
It's been a week since I saw you playing that, Matt. You didn't come here for forgiveness. You want permission, and I can't give you that, son.
Justice isn't a sin, Father.
No, but vengeance is. You see it every day on the streets. Violence just begets more violence. Is that how you want to live your life? A lawyer during the day, and then judge and jury at night. Is that what you want?
Somebody has to do something.
Well, why you?
Because I can. Because I'm not afraid.
Well, I'm afraid for you, Matthew. Look, a man without fear is a man without hope.
The priest peers over his wire-rimmed glasses as Matt bows his head.
May God have mercy on you, forgive your sins, and grant you everlasting life. Amen.
As Matt makes the sign of the cross, the priest removes his glasses.
I'm not too crazy about the outfit either.
Matt grins as he leaves. Daytime. Our view glides above New York's bustling city streets. In a crowded coffee shop, Matt sits with his chubby law partner, Franklin Nelson. Franklin reads a newspaper.
Listen to this. Eyewitnesses say that Quesada was singled out by the demonic vigilante known as the Daredevil.
I don't know why you read that trash.
We've been hearing stories about this guy for years. There's got to be something to it.
What, like the alligators in the sewers?
There are alligators in the sewers. Don't ride my ass about the alligators. I got a friend in sanitation, okay? He's seen them.
Fine. Let's drop it.
Oh, you should see this guy. I got this picture.
You have a picture?
Yeah, it's like a drawing, like an artist rendering.
The picture resembles a bat-winged gargoyle.
Grotesque. I hate to see this guy's therapy bills. Oh, speaking of bills, your client, Mr. Lee, he made his first payment.
Well, that's great. You should be very happy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He paid in fluke. Fluke is a fish, Matt. Did you know that? Because I sure as hell didn't.
Mr. Lee is a good man, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and he goes fishing on the weekends, so I guess that's...
Yeah, well, I go salsa dancing on the weekends, but I don't shake my ass to pay my phone bill, you know what I'm saying?
Pass the honey, please.
He grabs a bear-shaped bottle.
You know, we need some better clients. I'm tired of these pro bono cases.
What is your problem with our clients? We have good, honorable clients, decent people. What's your idea of better? To define better.
Replacing the honey, Franklin sets out a mustard bottle.
Huh? What would be a better client?
Better means rich and guilty, okay? Oh. Remember when they taught us in law school how to create...
Matt squirts the mustard into his cup.
People who aren't all necessarily innocent.
It's your best course, as I recall.
Yeah, well, you don't have a moral vacuum, Matt. You are completely vacuumless.
Grinning, Matt shakes his head. He abruptly tilts his head, sniffing.
What? What? Where?
Front door. Not yet, soon.
On the sidewalk, a beautiful young woman with golden brown hair approaches.
Now.
In slow motion, she opens the door and gracefully enters the coffee shop. Matt inhales deeply as he sits transfixed.
Tell me.
Franklin stares at the woman.
You want the truth?
Absolutely. She's hideous.
Matt grins.
I don't know if it's fungus or some sort of congenital birth defect, but as your attorney in this matter, I advise you take no further action.
As Franklin watches her sit, Matt switches their cups, then rises and approaches the woman. His cane taps her chair.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Sure.
I was just looking for some honey. Could you help me out?
The woman reads.
Right in front of you.
Franklin watches Matt.
Well, could you be a little bit more specific?
She looks up.
What are you...
Blind? Yeah.
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
As she hands Matt the honey, Franklin spits out his coffee.
Friend of yours?
You know, I've never seen him before.
As she hides a smile, Matt reaches out.
Matt Murdock.
They shake hands.
Nice to meet you, Matt Murdock.
Nice to meet you.
The girl smiles and walks past him.
I didn't get your name.
She turns back.
I didn't give it.
Matt nods as the woman exits the coffee shop. He returns to his table.
I tell you, some people have no compassion for the handicapped.
Apparently not.
Matt heads toward the door.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna file an appeal.
We have to be in the courthouse by noon. 12 o'clock, Matt.
I'll be there.
Now outside. Using his cane, Matt heads down a sidewalk. He faces a playground. The honey blonde woman stands inside.
What do you want?
I just wanted to get your name. I didn't want your trouble.
Look.
She steps closer.
I don't like being followed. So don't.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Take it easy.
He grabs her hand.
I don't like being touched.
She twists his arm over his head and he pivots to face her.
Why don't you tell me what you do like? We'll start there.
He pulls back his head as she slaps at him. Wrenching free of his grip, she throws another jab and he forces her into a cartwheel. Matt nimbly dodges a thrusted kick, then smirks. As they circle each other, he cocks his head and stretches his neck. A little girl watches from a swing.
Sure you're blind?
Sure you don't want to tell me your name?
They stand a few feet apart, their backs to the playground and their heads facing each other. Matt throws his cane into the air. In unison, they whisk off their jackets. Matt catches the cane, and the girl extends her arms in a ready stance. Matt blocks an attack, then swings the cane, stopping inches from the girl's face. She knocks it away, leads him to a seesaw, and jumps on it. Matt ducks back as one end lurches toward his face. He shoves it down, sending the girl flying into his arms.
You're holding back.
Yes.
Don't.
They each do a backflip and land with their feet straddling two adjacent seesaws.
Does every guy have to go through all this just to find out your name?
Try asking for my number.
She plants both feet on one seesaw and Matt pirouettes onto its opposite end. She knocks his cane from his hand and it wedges in a slatted bench. Matt backflips to the ground. As he moves for the bench, the girl heads him off. Kids watch from behind the fence. Matt restrains the girl's arms and holds her from behind. She flashes a dimpled grin.
Okay.
She stomps on his toe, knocks him to the bench, and extends her flexed leg. The sole of her boot stops inches from his throat.
My name's Electra Nachos.
Now our view circles a skyscraper. Near the top, water flows through a translucent grid in the floor and walls. A burly man with a shaved head faces the city through a glass wall. The burly man puffs on a cigar. Behind him, two men in dark suits stand along a wall. Another man enters and shifts restlessly.
What's wrong with me?
Have you seen the papers today? Somebody's been talking.
The burly man exhales some smoke.
Somebody always does.
Now a New York Post headline reads, Kingpin of Crime, Man or Myth?
Nachos, my dear old friend.
A man with a salt and pepper goatee faces the burly man and Wesley across a conference table. The burly man lights up a new cigar.
I'm getting out, Wilson. I am out. You think it's funny? They're writing about the kingpin. They're going back to the beginning. Oh, I'm tired of looking over my shoulder.
Nachos shakes his head.
I want to put all that behind me now. I want you to buy me out.
He slides over a folder.
I think you'll find it's a very generous offer.
Wesley eyes the two men. Nachos blinks eagerly.
So, what do you say?
The burly man, Wilson Fisk, blows out a puff of smoke, then stands. Gripping a crystalline walking stick, he steps to the glass wall overlooking the city. His eyes narrow as he grins.
How's your daughter?
Elsewhere, Electra and Matt cross a street.
You okay?
I think I'll be okay. I'm not gonna lie to you and say it doesn't hurt. How'd you learn how to fight like that?
My father, he had me study with a different sensei every year since I was 5 years old.
Sounds like he wanted to turn you into some kind of a warrior.
She takes a deep breath.
No. He's not a victim.
Watch your step.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even... Wait. How'd you do that? How'd you do the part?
I don't know. Growing up in the kitchen, I'm a blind kid. You know how to look out for yourself.
A taxi passes in front of them.
See that? Just ran that light.
Now in a lobby, Fisk walks with Wesley and the two men in dark suits.
I want you to create a paper trail. One that can be traced to Nachos.
Sir?
The press want a kingpin. So I'll give him a kingpin. Give me bullseye.
Now three darts land dead center in the bullseye of a pub's dartboard. Without looking, a man in a black skull cap hurls more darts as he downs a beer.
You see, I'm Irish, but I'm not a leprechaun. You want to fight, then step up and we'll get it on. You get a right to the grill, I'm right to the L, a descendant.
One dart lodges in the center of another, splitting it in half. A balding man hangs his head. Bullseye rolls his shoulders. He answers the cell phone, then puts on an alligator skin trench coat. Facing the balding man, he motions beckoningly. The balding man runs a hand over his bare crown.
Kill Alfred!
The balding Englishman holds out a folded stack of British currency and Bullseye snatches it. He sizes up his defeated opponent, then heads for the door.
Well, the Irish piece of trash.
Bullseye stops and removes his skull cap, revealing his shaved scalp and a scar in the shape of a targeting bullseye on his forehead. He glares at the balding Englishman, then reaches into his inside jacket pocket. The patrons back away nervously. Bullseye pulls out a paperclip and displays it between his thumb and index finger. He straightens the paperclip wire, then glances at the balding Englishman, who shrugs defiantly. Bullseye hurls a segment of the wire into the man's corpulent throat. Bullseye hurls several more segments into his throat, and the stunned Englishman sways. Flashes a sinister grin, then heads for the door. Now Franklin leads Matt down a building's hall.
I said I was sorry. What do you want?
Details. You owe me that.
Her name's Electra Nachos.
Well, she sounds like a Mexican appetizer.
It's Greek, genius. Her father's Nicholas Nachos.
The billionaire?
The billionaire.
Well, then, as your attorney in this matter, I advise you to marry the woman immediately.
I'll take it under consideration.
Now in an airplane.
This Susie is my son Larry's daughter by his first marriage. She eloped with this semi-colored fella.
The babbling old lady sits What's beside Bullseye.
Yeah, just let's say he had a little cream in his coffee. But he did very well for himself on the internet. But don't ask me how. No, you know, they did get me a computer for Christmas.
Wearing headphones, he watches her talk. He shifts uncomfortably in his seat.
Oh, but who can afford to fly these days? But then my sister Marjorie...
Bullseye tears open a packet of peanuts, then glances at a shadow of the woman's head. He flicks a peanut into the seat in front of her, and it ricochets into her open mouth. He removes a headphone from one ear and stares at her, wide-eyed. Her head collapses on his shoulder. A flight attendant leans over them.
Oh, she's sleeping. Can I get you anything before we land?
More peanuts? Please.
Back in New York City. High on a rooftop, Daredevil crouches alongside Stone Angels. Daredevil cocks his head. In an alley, a thug hits a man. Daredevil swings down to a landing overhead. As he knocks out his victim, a horned shadow appears on the brick wall in front of him. The thug slowly turns, and the shadow cloaks his face in darkness. The shadow stays put as the thug runs off. In the sky, lightning flashes.
Get away from me!
As the thug heads up a staircase, it starts to rain. He runs inside a building and pulls the door shut. He enters a dark apartment and storms down a hallway. Daredevil bursts through a window and punches him against a wall.
He
This ain't your neighborhood no more.
He spits on the costumed vigilante.
Kitchen belongs to the kingpin now.
Daredevil delivers a forceful blow to his head. Nearby, a little boy cowers against a dresser.
Please. Please don't hurt me.
I'm not the bad guy, kid.
Daredevil backs away toward an open window. Later, outside, he stands at the corner of a rooftop. Rain drizzles on his leathery bodysuit.
I'm not the bad guy.
Lightning flashes, illuminating the brick facades of the buildings below.
I'm not.
Daytime. Matt makes his way across a congested street of bumper-to-bumper cars. He walks slowly, feeling his way with his cane. In an office, a blonde woman holds a phone receiver to her ear.
Okay, I have to play him because he just came in.
Matt approaches her desk.
Your ears must have been burning.
Why?
This just came by messenger. It's your invitation to the black and white ball at the Grand. Plus one.
Plus one? All right.
Franklin stands nearby.
Guess I gotta rent the tux. Wow, they spent some serious money on this invitation. I mean, you should feel it. It's engraved. What time are you gonna pick me up?
I'm not going.
What? Are you crazy? That place is gonna be crawling with people. Rich people. People who pay their legal fees with money, not with fish, or with wheels of cheese, or with sports supplies. I'm gonna fill you in on a little secret, Matt. This place doesn't look like a law office, okay? It looks like the set of goddamn Sanford and Son. Every time I walk in, I'm waiting for Lamont to walk down the stairs.
Matt grabs a Braille printout.
And you go. Look at me, Matt. I'm a plus one, okay? Plus ones don't get anywhere by themselves. They need somebody to bring them. That's why it's plus one.
Are you finished? We only have an hour to prepare for court.
What's eating you?
Franklin tosses a foam ball from hand to hand.
Rough night.
Matt leans back in his seat.
Wait, you want to talk about it?
His eyes stare blankly ahead.
No.
It's about Elektra, isn't it?
No.
And Nachios owns the Grand Hotel, and Elektra's the reason you were invited to the ball.
She's out of my league, and I'd rather just end it before it starts.
Franklin tosses the ball toward a small basketball hoop, and it hits the rim.
That's got to be some kind of record, Matt. You just completely bypassed the whole relationship phase. You went right into the breakup. Trying to save some time, huh? Come on, what happens to that lie detector of yours when it detects your own bullshit? Must really bury the needle, huh?
He shoots again and misses. His eyes dart from the hoop to Matt.
Swish.
Matt shakes his head.
Look, Matt, seriously, the ball's in your court.
Franklin tosses him a ball, and Matt nonchalantly catches it. Facing his friend, Matt hooks the ball over his head, and it goes in. Nighttime. Matt walks alone on a city street. Inhaling deeply, he stops short and smiles to himself.
So does this mean you want a rematch?
Elektra stands behind him.
I knew I'd find you.
She steps closer.
How did you know I wasn't a...
Smirking, Matt turns to face her.
Muggers don't usually wear rose oil or high heels. At least this far from Chelsea. Come here. Something I want to show you.
On a rooftop.
Wait a second. Exactly how many women have you brought up here anyway?
You're my first.
Good answer.
I thought that was the right answer.
Elektra gazes at high-rises lit by the full moon.
Look at this. It's so beautiful.
I know. This is my favorite view of the city when I was a kid. I really wanted you to see this.
Elektra grins as she gazes at Matt. He reaches out and caresses her cheek. Her smile fades as his fingertips drift down to her chin and throat. Matt fingers a silver charm hanging from a chain on her neck.
This.
He feels its engraved markings.
Oh, that's from my mother. For good luck.
It's beautiful. It's a good luck charm, huh? You use one of those? Make it in Braille?
She gave it to me right before she died.
What happened?
Go.
No, wait, just wait.
No,
wait, because it's about to rain.
No, it's not.
It is. I'm telling you. The temperature dropped 2 or 3 degrees. I can smell it. The moisture in the air. It's going to rain any second now. And when it rains, it's like there's a rooftop on the world. Each raindrop makes a sound the first time it falls on a surface. Just then, it's like I can see again. And I just want to see you.
Elektra lowers her gaze, then gives a slight nod.
Okay.
Matt takes off his sunglasses.
There it comes.
They both tilt their heads back as raindrops pour down on them. Elektra grins, blinking against the falling rain. A half smile creeps across Matt's lips as he lowers his head to face Elektra. Slowly, he opens his eyes. Hundreds of shimmering drops highlight the features of her upturned face. Opening her eyes, she looks at Matt. The raindrops act as tiny pinpoints of light, revealing her angelic features.
My God. You are so beautiful.
Matt reaches out and runs his fingertips down her wet cheek. As he cups her face in his hand, Elektra takes his arm. They lean in close and their lips gently meet. Their kiss intensifies, and Elektra moves her hand along Matt's face to the back of his neck. The rain drenches their hair and clothes as their lips linger in the passionate kiss. Matt looks away from Elektra.
What? What's wrong?
Clenching his jaw, Matt listens and shakes his head from side to side.
Matt.
I'm sorry. I have to go.
As he pulls away, Elektra grabs his wrist. She peers at him imploringly. Raindrops roll down Matt's face as they grip each other's hands. Now, a dark marble statue depicts a man and woman in an embrace, surrounded by cherubs. Elektra's long curly hair flows down her bare shoulder as she kisses Matt. Their lips gently meet, then Elektra plants soft kisses on a curved scar around his eye. As her hand caresses his bare back, she runs a fingertip over a 2-inch scar. Her brow furrows and she looks off with a concerned gaze. Later, Matt presses his lips to a group of small red scars on Elektra's shoulder. Now Elektra falls back onto a pillow as the lovers kiss passionately. Elektra opens her eyes and grins at Matt. Later, he rolls her on top of him, their lips locked in a deep kiss. Matt brushes his fingers through Elektra's long brown locks as flames from a nearby fireplace illuminate their bare skin. Now, Matt lies in his bed with his eyes shut. He opens them and grins. Touching the pillow beside him, Matt finds a card. He runs his fingertips over it and feels the print. It reads, "Black and White Ball at the Grand Hotel," and includes his name in calligraphy. Smiling, Matt rests his arms under his head. Nighttime. At the hotel, Matt and Franklin arrive at the ball wearing tuxedos. Large vases filled with white lilies decorate the elegant ballroom. At the far end of the room, a double staircase leads up to a balcony.
This is what I'm talking about. Aren't you happy you listened to me? This is going to be great for business, Matt.
He takes a drink.
You?
Urich approaches.
Matt Murdock. Ben Urich, New York Post.
Ben Urich.
Nice to meet you. You're the guy who writes the articles about the urban legends, right?
Well, yes, among other things.
Maybe you could settle something for us. You know the alligators that live in the sewers?
My partner here.
I've been following that piece you wrote about the kingpin. One man running all the crime in New York City. It sounds a little far-fetched, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but then again, so is a vigilante who thinks every day is Halloween.
They gotta be huge by now, right? The alligators?
It's a myth.
Hurek hands Matt a business card.
Look, I'd like you to give me a call.
He knocks Matt's cane down. The reporter picks it up and studies the wooden handle.
Cool color.
Matt snatches it back.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but do give me a call. There is something I'd like to talk to you about.
He stuffs his card into Matt's pocket.
Nice to meet you. Enjoy the party.
Franklin spots Fisk.
Look at that. Wilson Fisk is in the hizzy. Come on, we might never get a chance like this again. Come on, let's go. Come on.
Okay, wait, we should talk about
Mr.
this.
Fisk. Hi, Mr. Fisk. It's Franklin Nelson from Nelson and Murdoch.
Excuse me. Hey, yeah, you want to talk to Mr. Fisk? You make an appointment.
Okay.
Wesley.
Fisk grins, smoking a cigar.
I know who you are. You're the blind lawyers from Hell's Kitchen.
Right, actually, he's the blind one. I'm deaf.
Give him a card, Wesley. I'm always on the lookout for new blood.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fisk. My partner's a little overzealous. We can't represent you.
Why is that?
Yes, why is that, Mr. Murdoch? Because we only handle clients who are innocent.
Innocent, he said. It's pretty funny. You know, I've learned one thing in all my years in this business.
What's that?
Nobody's innocent.
He sternly stares.
Nobody.
Matt faces him.
Have a great time at the party.
Thank you.
Fisk and Wesley walk off.
I just, you know, Matt, for one night, I just wish...
He gapes toward Electra. She smiles in a silver strapless gown.
Matt, I just wish I could give you my eyes for one night. It's like that. It's like that.
From her swept up hair, two long ringlets brush her bare shoulders.
You want me to take you up there, Matt?
Our view moves up one of the staircases as Matt ascends. In his shadowy perception, wispy trails of light emanate from a waitress's serving tray. He deeply inhales, then moves past a man with a lit cigar and a woman smoking a cigarette. Matt smells Electra's smooth neck and shoulder, then faces her.
Now I found you.
She gently caresses his cheek and smiles.
That's all that matters.
Elsewhere, Franklin smiles at partygoers.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
He unwittingly rubs a stone sphinx's breast. A woman gives Franklin a bewildered stare, and he quickly pockets his hand. On the dance floor, Matt and Electra hold each other as they gently sway.
Beautiful tonight.
She broadly grins. Matt smiles as he shrugs and shakes his head. With her arms around Matt's neck, Electra reaches up to his dark sunglasses.
Do you mind?
She removes them.
No, sometimes it makes people uncomfortable.
Electra smiles. Matt grins as Electra's face grows serious.
You should know that the only reason I got dressed up for this thing was that I wanted to look beautiful for you.
They stop dancing. She stares into Matt's eyes.
I wish you could see me tonight.
Me too.
Matt smiles. As Electra rests her head on his shoulder, his smile fades and he slowly shuts his eyes.
Things don't happen to me very often. When they do, I get scared.
Matt gently shakes his head.
Nothing bad is gonna happen. Promise.
Now, a man with a pencil lodged in the center of his forehead falls to the ground. Nearby, Bullseye hops on a motorcycle. He takes off down a dark alley, tearing through shallow puddles as he rides. Back in the ballroom, Fisk puts his hand on Mr. Nacho's shoulder and leans in close to the ambassador.
Doesn't she look beautiful? I think she's happy. I haven't seen a smile like that since before her mother was killed. Poor girl, right in front of her eyes.
We have to bring that up now.
History has a way of repeating itself.
What are you saying?
Just saying goodbye, old friend.
Fisk puts a red rose in Nacho's jacket pocket.
Just saying goodbye.
He walks off. Nachos watches him with a furrowed brow, then angrily pulls the rose from his pocket and tosses it down. He gets up and marches off. On the dance floor, Elektra spots her father storming out.
Something's happening.
What is it?
Papa!
They follow him outside.
Tell me where you're going.
He gets into a limo. She belts a bodyguard. Elektra gets into the limo and sadly looks at Matt.
Sorry.
She shuts the door and the car drives off. With his cane in hand, Matt stands alone on the curb. Now, Bullseye rides the motorcycle on a city street. He speeds past a taxi, nearly sideswiping. As he approaches oncoming traffic, the hitman leans the bike to the left and right, narrowly avoiding collisions. Nearby, Nachio's limousine turns a corner onto the same street and travels head-on toward the assassin. As Bullseye closes the distance to the car, he stands on the seat of the bike.
New York is not a safe place tonight, that's all you need to know.
On the motorcycle, Bullseye presses his belt buckle and removes a handful of throwing stars. Through the limo's sunroof, Elektra spots a figure running along a building's roof. On the motorcycle, Bullseye throws the star-shaped blades at the oncoming limo. The projectiles pierce the windshield and slit the throats of the men in the front seat. The limo plows into a newspaper delivery truck. As Bullseye stops and looks back, Daredevil lands on the street between the hired killer and the limo. Bullseye nods sportingly, then throws a star at the vigilante. Daredevil arches back, and the star flies just over his chest.
I missed. I never miss.
With a twitching glare, Bullseye lines up his motorcycle toward the stern-faced stranger. He speeds toward Daredevil. The masked man runs toward him. In slow motion, Daredevil jumps up, kicks Bullseye's face, then backflips onto the ground. As the motorcycle falls beside Daredevil, Bullseye tumbles to the pavement, then glares. Daredevil pats his empty holster.
Drop something.
Bullseye has his cane. Near the limo, Nachios stares. The hitman throws Daredevil's cane. As gasoline drips from the bike, the cane speeds through the air. Daredevil dives for it. The bike explodes and the energy wave multiplies the number of canes Daredevil perceives. He misses. As Elektra lies on the ground at her father's feet, she watches the cane pierce her father's chest.
Bullseye.
Bullseye points to the mark on his forehead, then takes off. Elektra kneels over her motionless father, then pulls out the cane. She grabs a gun lying next to him and points it at Daredevil. The vigilante hooks a building's ledge with his grapple as Elektra fires after it. He escapes on the cable. Elektra tearfully keeps the gun aimed. Weeping, she slowly lowers her arm, drops the gun, and kneels over her dead father. Newspapers litter the street around her huddled form. Later, the bloody cane fills an evidence bag. As an investigator seals it, Yurik looks on. Amid bustling police personnel, Nick walks past him.
Get that over to forensics right away!
Hey, Nick.
He faces Yurik.
What do you want, Yurik? Does all this make you happy?
Yurik frowns and shrugs.
Looks like you got your story.
Glowering, Nick walks off. Yurik's concerned gaze follows the detective. Now in Matt's loft, the lawyer violently knocks over furniture. He swipes at a rack of nunchakus, causing them to fall to the floor, then overturns a desk. Catching his breath, Matt's shoulders slump. He leans back against a wall and slides down to the ground. Bending his leather-clad arms, Matt covers his face with his hands and bows his head. Fade to black. Now, in the confessional, the window opens. Matt sits on the other side.
You were right, Father. You were right.
The priest gazes downward as he listens. Now, in a cemetery, A priest in a yellow robe swings a censer over a flower-covered casket. Smoke lightly billows out of the metal burner as the priest approaches Elektra and other mourners. The young heiress shakes his hand, kisses both his cheeks, then walks away. Fisk and Wesley watch her. Elektra walks through the mourners toward a limousine. Matt stands near the curb. Elektra faces him, her gaze stern and determined. These wounds won't seem to heal. This pain is just
too real. There's just too much that time. I know how you feel.
You don't know how I feel. Can you cry
it out? Why blow away all? I want revenge.
Revenge won't make the pain go away. Trust me. I know.
Shaking her head, Elektra lowers her gaze, then returns her eyes to Matt.
There's no place for me now.
Yes, there is. Stay. Stay with me. Please.
Rain pours down on them, and Matt removes his sunglasses. Facing Elektra, he senses the ghostly image of her somber expression. Pebble-sized spots of white light illuminate her delicate features. Elektra glances down, then fades into the darkness as she opens an umbrella over herself. Matt sadly waits. Elektra turns away and walks to the car. Matt bows his head and puts his sunglasses back on. He turns to her.
Elektra, wait.
She looks over her shoulder.
Please.
Turning back to the limo, she nods at the driver, hands him the umbrella, and gets in. Elektra looks at Matt as the driver shuts the car door. The young lawyer stands alone in the rain. In the car, Elektra faces forward.
Drive.
Outside, Matt stands motionless as the limo pulls away. Behind him, Fisk laughs, hands Wesley his umbrella, and gets into his car. Wesley gets in after him. On the ambassador's casket, raindrops pelt a red rose, which lies atop white flower petals. Now, as a man types on a computer, a hand holding folded money taps his shoulder from behind.
Hold your check.
The man takes the cash from Urich.
It's better be good, Kirby.
Chewing gum, Kirby blows a bubble.
You know me, Urich. It's always good.
Grinning, Kirby leads Urich into an adjacent room. The door marked Forensics Lab swings shut behind them. Standing near a metal table, Kirby snaps on a pair of latex gloves.
Okay. Are you ready to see something really, really cool?
Urich nods impatiently.
Come on.
Okay. Kirby unveils the cane.
Ta-da.
Urich shakes his head and holds out his hand.
Oh, come on, man. I'm throwing you gold.
Give me my money.
Why?
I've seen it. Come on.
All right, well, but have you seen this?
Kirby picks it up, closes the two serrated prongs, then turns the devil-faced knob.
And tidy, ready, loosey, left.
It extends. Urich touches the cane.
He says, look out for anything weird, yes?
Urich stares thoughtfully.
With some pretty weird shit right here, man, right?
I have no idea.
Police are still investigating the murder of Greek shipping heir Nicholas Nachios. Identify Nicholas Nachios
as the so-called kingpin of crime.
That the self-styled vigilante is wanted for murder.
Creation of Daredevil.
Now seated at Fisk's desk, Bullseye sharpens a pencil. Fisk enters.
How did you get past my security?
Oh, you mean that guy?
A motionless man has pencils lodged in his neck.
Was that really necessary?
Necessary? No. It was fun.
You know, you've exceeded all my expectations. You even managed to implicate Daredevil in the process. You should be pleased.
He pours a martini.
He made me miss.
There's an old saying that...
He lifts an olive.
Too much pride can kill a man.
Bullseye throws the pencil. It pierces the olive center.
The devil is mine.
Really? I've heard that before, all too many times. But But answer me this. How do you kill a man without fear?
By putting the fear in him.
Oh, I like that. First. Fisk takes a red rose from a vase, smells it, and tosses it to Bullseye. Give Electra all my best. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Bullseye leans close and raises his brow.
I want a bloody costume.
Now, on a residential sidewalk, Matt walks toward his loft using his cane. His lips tighten, and he stops.
What do you want?
Urich faces him.
Matt, it's Ben Urich.
I know who it is. What do you want?
I got a lead on my story. I think that Nachos was set up by the real Kingpin.
Why are you telling me this?
They say the Kingpin doesn't just kill you. He kills your whole family. I think your girl's in trouble. I thought you might know somebody that could protect her.
Matt knits his brow. Now the sun sets over the city. Nighttime. In Electra's apartment, she kneels, holding a sai in each hand. Slowly rising to her feet, Electra turns the long blades of the weapons under her outstretched arms. Lightning illuminates the spacious training room. Electra whips the sais out in front of her, then rapidly rotates them in the air. She stabs a volleyball-sized bag on a rope as it drops eye level to her. Sand pours out. Dodging a bag that swings down, Electra pierces two more as they drop. Now she reverses her grip on the sais. She hooks the curved handles on the rope knots above two bags and backflips, kicking another bag overhead. Elsewhere, Daredevil suits up. In Electra's training room, the woman delivers a roundhouse kick to another bag. As Daredevil pulls on gloves in the loft, Electra jabs and cartwheels in the training room. She fiercely stabs a sandbag that hangs inches from her face. While Daredevil fastens a belt, Electra eyes a distant bag with a red devil face on it. She throws a sai across the room, lancing it between the eyes. In the loft, the Daredevil mask is empty. Matt faces upward. In the room full of swinging bags, sand pours onto the floor. Electra looks into a mirror. Now, a bird's eye view shows the Hell's Kitchen high-rises. On a brick building, Bullseye whirls his coat and leaps from the roof. Below, Daredevil makes his way down a narrow, steam-filled alley, then stops. Nearby, Bullseye ascends a fire escape. Daredevil bounds between the buildings, flanking the alley, and grabs hold of a fire escape rung 20 feet above the ground. Flipping himself up, he reaches a landing. He shoots his grapple out and ascends to the roof. Daredevil hops onto a ledge, takes out his cane, and wraps its cable around a pole. With his boot heels pressed against the pole, he slides down. A dozen feet from the ground, he leaps off and retracts the cable. Atop another building, Bullseye tops a fire escape. He scares off a rat on the ledge. Back with Daredevil, the vigilante makes his way through clotheslines billowing with white linens. Exploring the area, he twirls his half-extended cane close to his body. He stops, spins quickly, and pushes aside a sheet with his weapon. Turning back, he twirls his cane. He slides a sheet along a line, and a bird flaps into his face. A foot strikes his face, and Electra steps from behind a hanging curtain. As Daredevil falls to his face, Electra cuts the clothesline with her sai. She twirls one in each hand, then crosses them over her head.
Remember me?
She advances.
Wait!
He gets up, and she slashes at him.
It wasn't me!
Electra spins as she thrusts, ripping down hanging sheets.
Stop. It was a hitman named Bullseye! I didn't kill your father!
Electra spins, kicks Daredevil, and thrusts her sai against his raised cane. He retreats to the next roof, backflipping high into the air. As he tumbles back to his feet, Electra leaps off the roof's edge after him. She lands in front of Daredevil, who parries with his cane. Electra kicks him in the torso. She hurls her sai, which sticks into the wall inches from his head. He blocks her punch and seizes her from behind. Twirling loose, she lands a kick to his belly. In slow motion, Electra runs up the wall, extracts her sai, flips backward, and lands on her feet. She thrusts her sai through Daredevil's left shoulder, penetrating a window behind him. His body slides down, leaving a streak of blood on the glass. Elektra scowls down at him. She crouches next to Daredevil, seizes the collar of his bodysuit, and places the Psi to his throat.
I'm gonna look into the eyes of my father's killer as he dies.
Wait. She pulls off his mask. Gaping at Matt's face, Elektra recoils. She cradles his face in her hands. Blinking back tears, she lowers her head. She looks behind her.
Listen to me. You have to run.
He has to pay for what he's done.
Yeah. I don't want to lose you again.
She gazes into his eyes.
I'll find you.
She caresses his brow. Come on, man. She replaces Matt's mask over his head. Elektra stands, staring forward as Bullseye ogles her form from another rooftop. As he grins, Elektra shuts her eyes, then deftly twirls her size upward.
Hey, Orph! Let's play!
As she swings her weapons, Bullseye whips his coat around. Elektra leaps 20 feet to the next rooftop and lands facing the hitman.
Nice. Come on.
As she hurls her Psi, our view follows its trajectory. Bullseye catches the weapon between his fingers and whips it back. Elektra catches it and falls back. Elektra slowly rises, revealing the Psi's blade stuck through her palm. Bullseye touches a hand to his forehead and steps away. Elektra stares at the embedded weapon, seizes its hilt, and slowly withdraws it. She glances over her shoulder. Bullseye jumps from above her and touches down nearby. Elektra charges forward and leaps. As they fight on an elevated air duct, her Psi glances Bullseye, leaving a scratch along his cheek. He lands a right hook to her face. As he knees her, she counters the blow. Elektra advances and Bullseye spins away, twirling his coat. Seizing her arm, he knocks her weapon away, then punches her off the duct. She lands face down. As she pushes up, Bullseye does a cartwheel on her back. Nearby, Daredevil rolls onto his side. Bullseye paces with his arms spread wide as Elektra half rises.
You're good, baby. I'll give you that. But me?
He shakes his arm and an ace of spades appears in his hand.
My magic.
As Elektra stares defiantly, Bullseye hurls the card across her throat, leaving a gash. The hitman kicks her Psi into the air, then catches and twirls it. Elektra heaves short breaths. As he reaches for her, she feebly swats at him. Gripping her throat, Bullseye brings her to her feet. He pulls her face close to his. Meanwhile, Daredevil struggles to raise himself. Elektra faces the hitman, who raises her Psi.
Now for my next trick.
As Daredevil looks over, Bullseye thrusts and Elektra's face contorts.
No!
The embedded Psi angles upward through her torso, lifting the shirt off her back. Bullseye withdraws the weapon and heaves Elektra off the roof's edge. She lands on the next roof and rolls to a stop. A helicopter's intense spotlight shines on the hitman.
NYPD aviation, please do not move. If I can see you, keep your hands on your head.
Bullseye brushes a rose across his forehead, drops it down by Elektra's motionless body, and twirls his coat. Now, a half dozen policemen in riot gear ascend a stairwell with rifles drawn. Nick stands further back among uniformed officers. On the roof, Elektra slowly crawls toward Daredevil with her head bowed. She lays across Daredevil's lap. Cradling her head, he caresses her hair.
Help me.
Elektra's eyes widen. As they flutter shut, he leans in close and presses his lips to her forehead. He perceives her beating heart slowing. The ghostly image fades to blackness. Daredevil's mouth hangs open, then twists into a grimace. A tear trickles from under his mask. Clenching his teeth, he raises his head toward the helicopter. The searchlight flickers back and forth. Now, the SWAT team and police burst through the roof stairwell door. Red laser sights flash from their rifles.
Anything clear?
Nick makes his way onto the roof as the policemen spread out. He frowns as two officers point their rifles toward Elektra's body. Now our view swoops over the city. Between the cathedral spires, the helicopter's beam reveals Daredevil clinging to a cross. A brilliant light flashes and he falls to the cathedral floor in front of the altar. Now the priest opens the cathedral's double doors. He sits beside Daredevil and removes his mask. The view blurs, passing through Matt's cloudy open eye. As Matt stares blankly, the priest removes his stole.
I tried, Father. I tried. This is who I am.
Oh, is that a fact?
A throwing star whizzes by and sticks in the altar. The priest looks to the back of the church. Bullseye makes the sign of the cross and bows.
First one's a warning.
He spreads his arms and smiles.
Padre.
Is there a back door out of here?
Yeah.
Take it. Call the police.
What about you?
Matt puts on his mask.
I have to finish this.
But you can't fight like this, son.
Have faith, Father. Isn't that right?
As Daredevil struggles to his feet, the priest picks up a votive candle and hurries off. Staring down the aisle at the staggering Daredevil, Bullseye points.
You. Let's play.
He hurls a collection plate. Our view follows as it strikes Daredevil's neck. He grabs at his throat and Bullseye grins. Daredevil picks up his cane, retracts its prongs, and stands. As he sprints down the aisle, Bullseye leaps away. The villain jumps onto a pew, then up to an upper ledge and hoists himself up. Daredevil leaps 30 feet into the air, grabbing the ledge. As they clamber up past rows of organ pipes, he deftly flips off a jutting pipe and lands below Bullseye. He grabs hold of an organ pipe. The hitman kicks it over. As the pipe stops parallel to the floor, Bullseye waves coyly. Daredevil shoots his cane's cable, hooking the hitman's shoulder and pulls him down. Daredevil and Bullseye dangle side by side from the horizontal pipe, clutching one another's throats. As dozens of bats emerge from between the organ pipes, Daredevil falls and Bullseye frees himself from the cable. Free-falling, Daredevil shoots the grapple. It wraps around an angel statue and he swings back up to the pipes. Bullseye scales higher, then leaps down, kicking at Daredevil. As they fight, Daredevil seizes his leg and swings him into another set of pipes. Daredevil winces and claps his hands to his ears. Bullseye gets up and swings a pipe at Daredevil, who backflips over it. Bullseye swings again. He notices Daredevil wince as he strikes the pipe. Outside, Nick instructs arriving officers.
Kane, I want the blueprints and the city grids. Secure the perimeter.
Yes, sir.
Where the hell's my SWAT team?
Inside, Daredevil pursues Bullseye through a path behind the organ. The hitman flings throwing stars from his belt, and Daredevil intercepts them with his cane. As Bullseye feels his empty belt buckle, Daredevil hurls the cane. Its end strikes Bullseye's forehead, knocking him back. He leaps to an archway and swings himself up, kicking its stained glass window. Bullseye nimbly catches the falling shards, forming a pile in each hand. Grinning, he spins, heaving one pile at Daredevil. In slow motion, the vigilante backflips away and the shards fly harmlessly past his body. Bullseye flings piece after piece from the other pile. Daredevil lands on his feet as the last shard strikes the wall behind him. Bullseye backs away, then grabs a rope and tugs. Wincing, Daredevil grabs his head and doubles over. Meanwhile, as SWAT team members rush out of a van, Nick faces a rifleman.
Hey, Coyle.
Sir.
Keep them in your sights.
Which one?
Both of them.
Officers swing a battering ram against the doors.
Mama, they'll fear.
Bullseye holds a candelabra.
Looks like I found something you're afraid of. Let's bring on the pain.
Bullseye rolls his head and touches his bullseye scar.
Let's bring on the noise.
He bashes the candelabra against the organ pipes. As Daredevil covers his ears, Bullseye swings again, striking his face. The vigilante falls in front of a huge stained glass window. Bullseye paces closer.
Fisk was right about you. He said you wouldn't go easy.
Fisk.
Fisk is the kingpin.
Yeah. The whole Red Rose thing? He loves that shite. It's not my
A flashback shows Jack in the alley, his killer's fist, a plummeting rose, and Matt squeezing the flower. Daredevil lifts his head.
He hired me to kill Nachos. And to gut your pretty girlfriend, too.
Bullseye fingers the candelabra's splintered stand.
But me, I'm going for the hat trick. I told him I'd do you for free.
He twirls the stand, then raises it overhead, its broken point facing Daredevil. As he thrusts downward, Daredevil catches his arms. Turning his head, Daredevil listens. On a rooftop, the rifleman aims at them through the stained glass window. Daredevil pulls Bullseye forward, and the ghostly bullet pierces Bullseye's hands. The hitman drops to his knees.
My hands!
Smoke trails from the matching holes in his palms. He holds them out.
You took away my hands.
Daredevil gets up.
Show mercy.
Seizing his lapel, Daredevil hurls Bullseye through the window. He plummets away, surrounded by sparkling glass. Below, Yurik drives up to the cathedral. Bullseye smashes head first onto his windshield. The reporter draws back. High above, Daredevil stares down from the broken window.
Bullseye.
Officers surround the car as Yurik gets out.
Whoa!
Bullseye lies motionless on the hood. An officer points skyward as Daredevil bounds from the cathedral to another rooftop. Amongst the crowd of onlookers, the priest nods.
Good luck, son.
Now in his office, Fisk watches falling rain through a 10-foot window. Wesley steps beside him.
There's been a problem.
Bullseye failed.
Correct.
Send the guards home.
But, sir...
I was raised in the Bronx, Wesley. This is something you wouldn't understand. Fisk takes a drag off his cigar. Now, Daredevil kneels on a rooftop's ledge. With his head bowed, he rests an arm upon his lifted knee. As our view sinks below him, the masked vigilante rises to his feet and stands tall. Now, a flash of lightning reveals Fisk behind the large windows of his office. As he glares at the sheet of rain outside, he unbuttons his suit jacket and pulls it off his broad shoulders. He unfastens the first few buttons of his white dress shirt and removes round silver cufflinks. Unblinking, Fisk peers out the window, his back to the rest of the room. Lightning flashes, briefly illuminating a figure as it steps into the office behind him. Wearing suspenders over his undershirt, Fisk starts toward the figure with his ornate walking stick in hand. Daredevil.
Kingpin.
Daredevil extends his cane, and the grappling hook shoots out toward Kingpin. The hook's wire coils around his walking stick. He pulls back on it, flinging Daredevil headfirst into a window. As Kingpin takes heavy steps, Daredevil senses a hand reaching toward him. Kingpin lifts Daredevil to his feet and headbutts him. The crime boss hoists him above his shoulders and throws him straight up into the ceiling. Daredevil falls to the floor. With one hand, Kingpin easily hurls Daredevil across the room. As Daredevil sits limply against the wall, Kingpin wraps his fingers around the stem of a rose and inhales deeply. It's a shame you came here wounded. I would have loved to fight you in your prime. Daredevil tries to move his trembling leg. They call you the man without fear. That's true. Why are you afraid to show your face? He rips off Daredevil's mask. I don't believe it. No. The blind lawyer from Hell's Kitchen.
You killed the only two people I ever loved. Why?
Kingpin lifts his walking stick. Business. It's all it ever is, business. I was working for Fallon at the time. Your father was supposed to throw a fight. And your girl... was in the wrong family. Matt turns his ear to water flowing through the glass grid in the wall and floor. He remembers Elektra's shimmering face.
I'll find you.
You've been in my business for too long. Matt shatters a pane of glass in the grid. As water sprays from it, he tosses a rod, shattering another section of the grid. Water rains down on the two men. The shimmering drops reveal Kingpin's broad form to Matt. As Kingpin wields his walking stick, Matt ducks. The glistening figure swipes at him again and again. Matt lands a punch on Kingpin's jaw. Grabbing hold of his enemy's walking stick, Matt repeatedly strikes his face, then knocks the stick to the ground.
Matt ducks under Kingpin's approaching swing. Diving to the floor, he slides through Kingpin's legs and kicks his kneecaps. Kingpin drops to his knees. On all fours, Matt stands over him, his jaw clenched. As Kingpin writhes, Matt picks up the walking stick and approaches his fallen enemy. The rain slowly subsides, and Kingpin looks up, gritting his teeth.
I've been thinking about this day since I was 12 years old.
Kingpin turns his gaze back to the floor. Matt swings the walking stick over his shoulder like a sledgehammer. Kingpin slowly opens his eyes and turns to see the stick only inches from his head. His jaw drops as his gaze darts between the stick and Matt. Matt slowly straightens, taking deep breaths.
I don't understand.
As lightning flashes, Matt's lips curl into a half smile and he shakes his head.
I'm not the bad guy.
You hear that, blind man?
Kingpin straightens to a kneeling position.
Cyrus, they're coming for you.
For me? Did you hear? The word's out on the Kingpin. They're coming for you. I can hear the police radios from here.
I swear I'll tell them where you are.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them. Tell the guys at Rikers all about how you got beat by a blind man. Be like blood in the water.
Oh, don't worry about that. Because I'll get out.
Yeah, I know. And I'll be waiting.
He tosses Kingpin's walking stick just out of reach.
Justice is served.
Matt strolls past the criminal, who doubles over on all fours. As Matt leaves, Kingpin struggles to his knees again.
I'll get you. I'll get you. It's not over with you.
On the floor, blood swirls through flowing water as it carries rose petals toward Daredevil's fallen mask. Elsewhere, Matt stands on the edge of a rooftop with his fist clenched. He releases his fist, and a single rose slowly drifts down past the marquee of the boxing arena. A few petals break away from the falling rose and float off into the night sky. As it reaches the ground, the flower bounces gently on the curb and settles. Daytime. At the cafe, Franklin holds a newspaper. The headline reads, "The Real Kingpin."
Police say that although there were no eyewitnesses, they suspect Daredevil was the one to bring Fist to justice.
Wait a minute, did you hear that? There were no eyewitnesses.
It's in black and white. How can you be a skeptic?
If there's no eyewitness. I mean, you know, Bigfoot has eyewitnesses.
Please.
The alligators in the sewer.
The alligators. So you're saying there are alligators in the sewers?
No.
Because you're changing your position on this one.
I'm explaining.
Do you not concede that there are alligators in the sewers? Please answer the question.
No, I don't.
How can you not concede?
Matt turns his ear toward the door. A slender brown-haired woman in a denim jacket enters. As the woman waves and heads to a table, Franklin lowers his head. Matt slowly turns back toward his friend.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'll be all right.
You want to talk about it?
No. But thanks.
Franklin lowers his gaze to the paper.
Let me get some air.
I got this.
His cane in hand, Matt gets up from the table and removes a coat from the back of his chair. Franklin watches him slowly walk to the door. Franklin eyes his coffee mug, then lifts it to his nose. He hesitantly takes a sip, then returns to his paper. Now, our view passes a cathedral, then a series of apartment buildings. Matt walks down a city sidewalk wearing his sunglasses and a tight-fitting t-shirt. Grimacing, he moves his head from side to side. Now, Matt walks along the rooftop where he took Elektra. Wind rustles through his dark hair.
I had set out to save the city, but with Elektra's help, I saved myself instead.
He reaches out and grabs a silver charm dangling from a thin chain.
Now I have faith that anything is possible.
He fingers raised bumps along its surface.
Braille.
Grinning, he quickly turns from the charm.
And some days, faith is all you need.
Now Yurik vigorously types at his computer. Cigarette smoke wafts in front of his face. The monitor reads, Daredevil revealed by Ben Yurik. Several paragraphs fill the page. As he fixes his eyes on the screen, the words are reflected in his glasses. With a concentrated gaze, Yurik types, a devil named Matt Murdock. He glances down at the adjacent print and delete buttons on his keyboard.
As for Daredevil, well...
His fingertip wavers between the keys.
Soon the world will know the truth.
Yurik shakes his head, then taps the delete button. The text disappears from the screen.
That this is a city born of heroes.
Nighttime, Yurik exits his building.
That one man can make a difference.
With a coat slung over his shoulder, Yurik looks up and takes a puff off a cigarette. Across the street, Daredevil perches on the ledge of a building. Yurik flicks his cigarette and shoves a hand into his pocket. Daredevil rises in his leathery bodysuit and tight mask.
Go get him, Matt.
Daredevil nods.
Hell's Kitchen is my neighborhood. I prowl the rooftops and alleyways at night, watching from the darkness.
He sprints across the roof.
Forever in darkness.
He leaps into the air, spreads his arms, and dives.
A guardian devil.
As he rights himself, his grappling hook shoots toward us. Credits. Unit Production Manager, Bernie Williams. First Assistant Director, Kim Winther. Second Assistant Director, Richard Oswald. Associate Producers, Kim Winther, Kathleen Courtney. Visual Effects Producer, John Kilkenny. Cast, Ben Affleck as Matt Murdock and Daredevil. Jennifer Garner as Elektra. Colin Farrell as Bullseye. Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin and Fisk. Jon Favreau as Franklin Nelson. Scott Tara as Young Matt. Ellen Pompeo as Karen Page. Joe Pantoliano as Yurik. Leland Orser as Wesley. Lenny Lofton as Manolis. Eric Avari as Nachios. Derek O'Connor as Father Everett. Paul Ben Victor as Quesada. David Keith as Jack Murdock. Frankie J. Allison as Abusive Father. Joe J. Garcia as Meatpacker. John Rothman as Quesada's Attorney. Jim Fitzgerald as Ring Announcer. Casey McCarthy as Angela Sutton. Louis Bernstein as Judge Number One. Josie DiVincenzo as Josie. Jorge Noah as New York Cop Number One. Levitt M. Washington as Kid Number One. Albert Gutierrez as Kid Number Two. Lakeith S. Evans as Kid Number Three. Stefano Smiltzakakis as Stavros. Pat Crawford Brown as Sweet Old Lady. Carrie Guyben as Flight Attendant. Luke Strode as Little Boy. Bruce Maybach as Rookie Cop. David Doty as Drunken Englishman. Now two armed guards stand before the doors of a hospital room. Behind the glass walls of a monitoring booth, a man lies with casts on his legs, head, and arms. A fly darts past the eyes of the injured man. As it zips back and forth, the man's eyes widen and follow its path. With two unwrapped fingers, he reaches for a syringe on a nearby table. Outside the room, our view pulls back from the guards. The syringe pins the fly to the wall. As its wings flutter, the man eyes it.
Bullseye.
Credits continue. Ron Matthews as sharpshooter. Kevin Smith as forensic assistant. Daniel B. Wing as Quesada's friend. Jeff Padilla as Quesada's friend number two. Dan Brinkle as referee. Jackie Reese as boxing referee number two. Stan Lee as old man at crossing. Sonia Didenko as Quesada's friend number three. Greg Christopher Smith as SWAT leader. Christopher Prescott as policeman. Ari Randall as waitress. John S. Bacchus as Greek priest. Greg Collins as Fisk bodyguard. Robert Eiler as bully number one. Chad Christopher Tucker as bully number two. Jamie Mahoney as bully number three. Jorn H. Winther as Stavros' friend. Frank Miller as man with pen in head. Stunt coordinator and martial arts wire choreographer Jeff Amata. Martial arts and wire team. Tsuyoshi Abe, Randall Archer, Damon Caro, Masaki Ando, Jonathan Eusebio, Yoshio Izuka, Brian Amada, Hiro Koda, John Koyama, Brad Martin, Steve Upton, David Wall. Hong Kong action team choreographer Cheng Yan Yuan. Score orchestrated and conducted by Tim Simonic. Scoring contractor, Debbie Datz Pyle. Music preparation by Greg Nestor, Dominic Hauser. Score recorded and mixed by Mark Curry. Score recorded at the Newman Stage, 20th Century Fox. Songs, Right Before Your Eyes, music by Daniel Estrin, lyrics by Doug Robb, performed by Hoobastank. Hang On, written by Sean Welgemode and Dale Stewart, performed by Seether. Learn the Hard Way, written by Chad Kroger, Michael Kroger, Ryan Anthony Peake, and Ryan Vicadal, performed by Nickelback. Evening Rain, written by Moby and James Talley, performed by Moby. Far Away, written by Ali Theodore and Vincent Alfieri, performed by Dara Schindler. Lap Dance, written by Farrell Williams, Chad Hugo, and Gene Elliott Thornton, performed by N.E.R.D., featuring La Harvey and Vita. Top of the Morning, written by Lior DeMont, Willie Dixon, Eric Schrody, and Danny O'Connor, performed by House of Pain. Release the Dogs, written by Nathan Gray, Chad Istvan, Josh Latshaw, Matt Kerpansky, Rob Avery, performed by Boy Sets Fire. Stay Up, written by Ali Theodore and Lordy Kim Allah, performed by Boogie. For You, written by Aaron Kamen and Alex Band, performed by The Calling. Dinner Jazz, written by Tony Kinsey. Tears After Midnight, Sweet Brown Eyes, written by John Paricelli. The Man Without Fear, written by Rob Zombie, C.J. Pierce, Stevie Benton, and Mike Luce. Performed by Drowning Pool, featuring Rob Zombie. My Immortal, written by Amy Lee and Ben Moody, performed by Evanescence. Right Now, written by Marcos, William Hughes, Vito Tisdale, Ron Wilson, Melvin Adams, and Brian Scott. Performed by Nappy Roots, featuring Marcos Curiel of P.O.D. Bring Me to Life, written by Amy Lee, Ben Moody, and David Hodges, performed by Evanescence. Bleed For Me, written by Josie Scott, Chris DeBaldo, Wayne Swinney, David Novotny, Paul Crosby, and Bob Marlette. Performed by Saliva. Won't Back Down, written by Carl Bell, performed by Fuel. Caught in the Rain, written by Robert Davis, Nathaniel Cox, Justin Holman, and Robert Thielman, performed by Revis. Soundtrack available on Wind Up Records. Playboy and Rabbit Head Design are trademarks of Playboy Enterprises International and used with permission. Copyright 2003, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Regency Entertainment USA, Inc. in the United States only. Copyright 2003, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Monarchy Enterprises SARL in all other territories except Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan, and Spain. Copyright 2003, TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Monarchy Enterprises SARL in Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan, and Spain. 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, Regency Entertainment USA, Inc., and Monarchy Enterprises SARL are the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Released by 20th Century Fox. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH.